you're bringing something to the financial table. We have to play nice in the same bank account. You're bringing something to the table that I need to value and affirm and appreciate. And if I can gain empathy for you, it's going to make us come together and we're going to see God's presence in our finances in a whole new way.
Pastor Tommy Brown joins us once more on Focus on the Family as we'll hear about understanding your money type. I'm John Fuller, and your host is Focus President and author Jim Daly.
Last time we started a great conversation on understanding how God wired each of us uniquely when it comes to how we relate to money. And we're going to continue that conversation today with our guest, Tommy Brown. Here at Focus on the Family, we want to see you thrive in every area of your life. You know, John 10:10 says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life to the full." And that's what we're talking about today. And money is one of the major subjects in the scripture. It says so much about who we are, what we are. Don't turn the dial, don't turn it off, because this is a winsome way of understanding how you approach money. And our guest has taken 7 personality types out of the scripture, and we've covered 3. We're going to continue with the other 4 today.
Tommy is a pastor, a writer, a speaker, and a financial expert, and his book is The 7 Money Types: Discover How God Wired You to Handle Money.
Tommy, welcome back to Focus.
I'm so happy to be back. Thanks for having me.
Are you sure? Because you're
really
traveling
am.
All the way from Salem, so it's a big trip.
Yeah,
and you left your wife, Abraham, which she's one of the money
now,
types.
Now, listeners
right?
need to understand.
If they're just dialing in, yeah. you just went off the farm from a context standpoint. So, it was quite a flight. But
well, last time you talked about 3 of the personality types with money. Abraham was one, and you've confessed that your wife is an Abraham type, right?
Yeah. So she resonates with the Abraham type. That's really all about hospitality. So this type loves to use money to make other people feel special or noticed.
How does her spouse feel about that?
Yeah, I've come to appreciate it. You know,
but you had to learn it.
I had to learn it. Yeah, it was, you know, I was brought up in a day and age where there's certain things that this is how you're supposed to act, think, and feel about money, and everything else outside of that is just wrong or strange or unusual. Mm. And I didn't realize there are actually 7 different ways that are good God-designed ways to relate to finances.
So Abraham's about hospitality.
That's
again, if you missed these, it was really good, and I'd encourage you to get that program last time, any way you can. What was the second one?
Second one was Isaac. And I came out and said, this is the one that I most strongly resonate with, which of course makes it the best type, right? Everybody
right.
always thinks their type is the best type.
Okay, fess up. What are the strengths and weaknesses?
Know, they love to use money. They love to maximize money. They're
what does
make
that
the
mean?
Most
like save
every
to the
dime.
Yeah,
I mean, they have
it.
To get the best deal. So my son resonates with the Isaac type, right? He will negotiate with a checkout clerk at the big box toy store and try and get a better deal on the Lego set. And I'm like,
he will?
He's 6.
Wow.
Okay?
And so that's amazing.
That just comes naturally out of him. So you want to win with money. You want to make the most of it. You hate whenever you don't get the best deal. You love to save, all of that. Yeah.
So if you're uncomfortable with that negotiation, what are you? I mean, if you're that type of person that goes, it's not worth it. That's kind of like me.
Yeah.
I'd be going, you know what? I don't want all that hassle. What's the top dollar I need to pay to not talk to you very long?
You just want to get the best thing, pay top dollar, make the problem go away, whatever
is that?
It is. You know, I know a little bit about you from what you're putting
He's
in
not
there.
Lazy, and, although it could
lazy.
Sound
is that a
like
Moses?
That.
Or we're going to get to those in a minute.
We'll get to those. You know, okay. I don't want to guess on something like that, because the point is, any type can want to get the best deal. Any type can want to give all those types of things. The question is why you do what you do, and that's the motivation that we want to get at. Because our emotions, our heart drives our relationship to money. And if you're having trouble, you're making the same mistakes. You find yourself going over budget. You're just tripping over yourself. I would stop for a minute and say, why am I doing these things, which is about more than what you're doing in terms of dollars and cents.
Which is why I like the book so much, because it's not just a budget book. It's not just a must do this kind of book. It talks about the why.
It's the money book for people who don't like money books. You know, I can sit in a room full of people and discuss this topic and never once have to say how much I earn or how much in debt I am. And those are important things that you can deal with.
Because that's not the most important thing with what you're doing.
Exactly.
So you got Abraham, you've got Isaac, the best personality type, which you self-describe as one of.
Humble.
Next would be?
Next is Jacob, and that's about beauty. And they love to use money to create pleasurable experiences, to create extravagant, just over the top.
So they're the spenders.
Everything with, you know, they are going to spend, but they're going to spend in such a way that's going to make things just come to life.
Spend with purpose.
Hopefully they're doing it in a way that aligns with the way that God would have them to use money. So even in these moments where they're really extravagant, hopefully they're doing it to draw attention, not to themselves.
Right. Okay, so that's a good review of what you missed last time. Let's move in now to Joseph. I mean, I love Joseph.
He's a great story.
He's a great story all around.
He's pure drama all the time. Never just turn the page. It's like, oh, well, what is he into now?
Not self-imposed. No. It's like it just keeps happening to him.
You know, there are no plastic saints in the scripture. It tells the good, the bad, the ugly, the mishaps, all of those moments. And life kept happening, but life kept happening under this greater narrative arc of where God is teasing it forward toward the good. And Joseph even says that at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I would say Joseph had quite a degree of confidence. I mean, you know, Dad kind of favors me. I'm the youngest born. And did you see the fancy coat he made me and all those kinds of good things?
Look at what the Jacob type made me. Ta-da!
Just being a younger brother, I understand how Joseph totally irritated his older brothers because I tended to do that as well.
You know, he may have broadcasted his perceived future a little early, and you never want to come out of the gate with y'all are going to be bowing down to me one day.
Could you imagine that discussion? Hey, bros, let me just tell you, you're all going to be bowing down to me someday.
That
didn't go down too well.
No, you don't say that. Hey, but, look, I just got a promotion.
But in the money type, in the personality type of Joseph and handling money, what do you see?
He's a connector. I mean, he is really the one who is able to connect the dots. So wherever Joseph finds himself, he's thrown into a pit, he gets out of the pit, he goes into Potiphar's house. What happens at that point in time? He creates systems. He builds relationships. One relationship tried to be built with him in the form of Potiphar's wife, and he shunned that, gets thrown into jail. And so at that point, they say, who can interpret Pharaoh's dream? So they call him up out of there. And the dream, basically, you know the dream.
Yeah.
He's at 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh's like, well, what do we do? And Joseph says, well, here's what I would do. I would do X, Y, and Z, 20% off the top of the grain. And he creates these systems. And Pharaoh trusts him to the point that he says, actually, you're going to be the vice president of Egypt. And he put him in charge of all of the resources in the known world,
That's
basically.
Just amazing
Is
when
that
you
absurd,
think about
right?
that. Yeah.
So from the pit to the palace, as they say, right? So you have Joseph, his ability to be entrusted with other people's resources, to create systems and to make connections, that's what set him up to win. Your Joseph types are basically the mayor of whatever they do. They're the mayor of the local Starbucks. They know everybody. They're always doing coffees and lunches in their workplace. They're the connector. If you fall out of work and need to get a job, you want to connect with a Joseph type because they use their money in order to make connections. And I'm not talking about bribes. I'm talking about they're just spending their resources to keep making connections. I'm going to sit on this board. I'm going to give to this charity. Huh. I'm going to build this relationship. And they just weave this web. And think about this. There came a point in time to where the tides turned for the children of Israel after they got into Egypt. And it said that there arose a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, he was the man.
He was the man, right? And things turn. And so that ability to make connections and provide for God's people in that way, his brothers and others, is what sustained the children of Israel. And it's the reason their story was able to continue.
Yeah, I'd never thought about it in that way because once Joseph was off the scene, that's when they started to struggle.
Times got tough.
Yeah, times got tough. Okay, that's Joseph. What about that shadow side of Joseph?
Manipulation.
Okay, let's bring that up.
Such people. They can read you, and if they're not careful, they will manipulate you in order to get what they want rather than what is best for you and what is best for the relationship. So Joseph types might be name droppers. You know, the other night I was having dinner with the president of the company, and okay, got it, right? You're an important person. And they can manipulate you. And oftentimes, they're dropping names, and they're just wanting to make connections, but sometimes they're not even aware of their own ability to manipulate.
So they could be the meme monster.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
How does that person, how does that Joseph see that they're over the line in a Christian context, you know, when you have faith in Christ and you're going, okay, maybe I shouldn't be the name dropper. How do they, if it's core to their personality type, how do they pull that in and be more aware?
It's not always bad. And so with the right intent and imagination, anything can be used for God's glory. whatever it is.
That's true.
Right? So we talk about sexuality, we talk about finances, we talk about politics, we talk about connection and the ability to make connections. Named, if I'm doing it for your good, if I'm doing it for the good of the organization, at that point in time, I'm in the clear. But when I find myself wanting to do it just for my own benefit and especially at your expense, I don't have to win at your cost. And your Joseph types, this is all about awareness. I mean, how's the how-to list on how to do these things? You just have to grow in your awareness, trust that the Holy Spirit is leading you, and be aware in these situations.
I think one of the terms coming to my mind is being comfortable in your skin.
Absolutely.
In other words, how God created
you.
And it is limited. We don't have endless personality types. You see them very distinctly in Scripture.
You have to receive, and you have to really accept, okay, this is something that I can do for good and for God.
Right.
And that makes all the difference.
No, I love that. Okay, let's get to the next one. Moses. This is one I tied.
Okay.
And this is one of my ties. Yeah. I'm a Moses David.
Moses
we'll get to David,
David
in
all
a
right.
minute. But
all right.
Were you in this category?
I'm not saying.
Oh, you're going to hold your powder there, huh? Keep your
He's
powder
gonna
dry.
He's going to give me clues and make me guess.
He's
going to
start teasing
go.
Me in a minute.
I like it.
But I am that. What is a Moses?
So Moses is ultimately represents endurance.
Be kind.
Yeah, I am. I know right where I am right now. So Moses is about endurance. You think about this is the man who had to lead the children of Israel through all of those years in the desert. Of course he can see the future. Of course he can plan, but he's not going to be able to endure unless he's well ordered. So your Moses types are going to love structure. They're going to love routine. They're probably very systematic in their giving. You know what to expect. I have a friend who's a Moses type and he has ordered his days to the point. If I were to say, okay, on Sunday at 7 p.m., what are you going to be doing? He'll tell you, I'm going to be doing my budget from that point in time. And they love spreadsheets generally, not all of them, but they love spreadsheets. And some of them on the extreme have like spreadsheets for their spreadsheets. In fact, the Moses types have probably checked their budget during the time that we've been doing this talk here together today.
Okay.
And you can't endure without order. Moses was the one who received the law from God on Mount Sinai, and he had to implement it. There is a place for everything and everything in its place. Do this with this resource. Do this with that resource. Don't do this with this resource. 6 days, 5 days, you collect this amount of manna. On the sixth day, you collect double. On the seventh day, you don't collect. I mean, the man was, he was like the COO of the children of Israel. So your Moses types are going to be those ones, they are on point from their, they love budgets. Their love language is budgeting, right? They love that type of stuff. They're going to be very on top of their game when it comes to their finances.
No, that is great. And that shadow side is what?
Shadow
I'm bracing right now. I'm holding the table.
The shadow side is impatience. and so don't mess with my order.
John, you never seen me do that, have you?
You think about this. Moses is up on top of the mountain. He comes down. He starts hearing something. He's like, what is that sound at the bottom of the mountain?
Yeah,
he
let's gets kill
down
half
there.
Of them.
He's like, and God's like, well, your people. And Moses is like, when did they become my people? These are your people. So he gets down there and he sees that they've wasted resources. They've made a golden calf, and Moses makes them, he makes them grind it up, and then they take and they pour the excess waste of that gold onto the water, and then he makes them drink it. So, I mean, resources are like, it's a serious thing.
I'm feeling his pain right now. I'm identifying with Moses. You can't get to be the president and CEO
of a company without having some order in place, right?
Right.
So that's going to be important. And you may not have all of those characteristics. You may be like, ah, I'm not here. But by and large, you're going to love that order.
Gee.
It's a great one.
I feel beat
it's
up.
It's a great
now.
One.
No.
Yeah, we're all
right,
done.
Well, thanks for listening. Focus on the family. We're going to end early.
I'm going to go pray.
I'm going to catch an early flight out.
Yeah. Those people. I got to get those people in line.
So I am a Moses, but I don't do spreadsheets. Okay. I'm not that drilled down. I think part of it's just life stage right now. We have a lot going on. I did resonate with something you wrote, Tommy, and that is, for a Moses, mind your own money and quit micromanaging everybody else's. It drives me crazy when my kids go to the fridge, open the door, and then walk away. I'm thinking,
and the door's open?
I'm thinking there's money flowing out of that refrigerator.
We are Moses's.
I've got to pay for that.
Yeah.
So that was a real exhortation to me to lighten up a little bit and not micromanage everybody.
You don't say shut the door? That's money going out the door?
10, 15 times a meal, I have to say.
Lights on upstairs, nobody there. Yeah,
you know,
we are Moses.
I am a Moses.
Your Moses types are going to think a lot about money, and there's tips in the book for each type in order to help them grow. But one of the things for Moses types is you got to lighten up some. And that's the same for Isaac as well, but for a different reason. But for your Moses types, I mean, they're always on whenever it comes to finances. And even if you're not a big budget guy, you are going to be ordered. So it isn't necessarily about having a spreadsheet. You're like, oh, I don't have a spreadsheet, and I have an app on my phone or whatever. Okay, do you know how much money is in your account? Do you know what's going going to happen if you spend $20 at this place and that place. I actually don't know how much money is in my account at this point in time. Right? So your Moses type.
How could you do that?
I know. So
we had some. How did you pass muster to get on the radio program?
This is actually an intervention, Tommy.
I've been brought here for a reason.
The two Moseses are here to tell you. Isaac, wake up. You got to know what's in your account, man.
You know, your Isaac types are going to have to check in because they're afraid they may not have enough. But once they've checked in, they realize everything's fine. They're just going to keep making the most of it.
No, you're thinking Moses will cover me. That's what you're thinking.
You know, Moses types are the ones traditionally, when people think they're quote unquote good with money, that's your Moses type. They're always on point with money. So the Moses types are ones who often do end up picking up the tab for people who haven't planned well.
You want to do lunch?
Yeah, no. Okay. I don't want to pick the bill up. Okay, let's move to Aaron.
Aaron is about humility. And
oh,
so
that's
humility,
who we should be.
Oh, of course it is, right? And this is where you get with the money types is people think, they go, Aaron, they go, humility. Oh, well, that's Jesus, right? Actually, if you really study the life of Jesus, he had all of these that were flowing in and out. But your Aaron type's all about humility. And the difference between Aaron and Abraham, they're both others-centered, but Abraham loves to use money to make other people feel special or noticed. That's hospitality. Your Aaron types want to make sure that needs are met. They're very concerned about injustices. They're very much motivated by the sense of I must or I have to. You think of your Mother Teresa type. This is the type of person very self-sacrificing to make sure that other people have everything that they need, but they may not be the type of person who's wanting to throw the big party, the hospitality, and all those types of things.
Now, is there a shadow side to the Aaron type?
It's going to be instability, and you see this most notably whenever, we'll reference the story again, when Moses came down from the mountain, he gave in to what the people wanted. The instability can be, I'm so much wanting you to have what you quote-unquote need, and sometimes they get mixed up about what is actually needed versus what a simple desire is. So they may give unjudiciously to things that they don't need to necessarily. So their heart, they just have these, there's these big bleeding heart people that want to make sure that
their boundaries would be an issue.
Boundaries are very important for, and they need to rely on their Moses type friends, and they need to rely on their Isaac type friends, because they're so, this is the type of person, if the church says, we're going to country X on a missions trip, and it's $3,000. They're saying, I'm going to go. You ask them, how are you going to go? Well, God's going to provide. Well, your Isaac types, they're already figuring out what they could sell in order to make ends meet. Your Moses types already have a budget in place to make it happen. And your Aaron types are like, I'm just innocent toward the whole thing. They would rather not think about money if they didn't have to. You know that person, not that they're irresponsible necessarily, they're just like, oh, everything's going to be fine. It's going to be good. It's going to be cool. It's going to work out. Probably talking to an Aaron type.
You got a little cringe factor going
I
there,
do,
John?
Because as a Moses, it really irritates me that it all comes together so easily, seemingly.
And when you look at a marital combination. Yes. I would think a Moses married an Aaron could be trouble.
So you need to pay attention whenever you take the assessment. You need to pay attention to where your top score is and where your bottom ones are, because you're going to have the most conflict with the one that is least like you, which is going to be your lowest score. You're
and
going
it's
to have
probably
tendency,
you married that person.
You probably married that person. And honestly, it's probably for your benefit, because it's going to help you become a more Christ-centered person.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's the key to marriage, isn't
Absolutely.
It? Becoming more like Christ. Okay, let's move to David. Now I tied my Moses and my David, or it was 11 points on each. So
in some way you're going to resonate with all seven of these of some degree or another, right? And if you were to behold a person who had the fullness of all seven operative at the same time, you would behold the Messiah.
Right.
And not that I don't think you guys are great, but you're not him.
No,
okay?
I only tied on two of the seven.
That's right.
So you're pretty well below 50%.
David is all about leadership. He's the consummate leader, right? And David is driven by a strong sense of why. Your David types are all about the future. They're about going someplace. They're not satisfied with where they are right now. They want to be equitable as leaders, make sure that all of the boats are lifted as the tide is rising. But the why is what's going to allow them to motivate other people to go God's way together with them. You think about in the scripture, and most people gloss over this little part in the text. David comes out to the battlefield to bring some sandwiches to his brothers, and the giant comes out, and it says that all of the children of Israel ran. Well, who else ran? David. Before David fought, David fled. Read it. It's right there in 1 Samuel. And so he goes back to the bag. He says, what happens to the person who defeats this Philistine? They say he gets king's daughter's hand in marriage. He gets tax exempt. He's going to all these great things.
Tax exemption.
And David, that's enough alone.
Let's
David
go.
David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who dares to defy the armies of the
Sign
living God?
Me up.
And you think about him. He was the eighth son. He was the runt of the litter. He was overlooked. And he saw this as a moment to change his financial future. And not just for him, but for his family. So not that David was some greedy, you know, little punk that just wanted to go out there and make himself wealthy. But it wasn't until he found his why that he actually fought. Hmm. And that's an important thing for our David types to zone into. It's not about you. It's not about where you are right now. It's about what is God calling you to do in the future. Hmm. And you're the big vision person that's going to be able to help us go God's way together. And they're also very motivated to see the next generation step up to win. So David was the one who actually did the fundraising for Solomon's Temple. So he's the one calling on all of his relationships to get it in. It should be named David's Temple from a fundraising standpoint, but he named it after his son who was green around the gills and didn't know what he was doing from a leadership standpoint and from a fundraising standpoint, but God gave him wisdom. So your David types, motivated by why, very equitable. They want to make sure that the next generation is set up to win, but if they're not careful, they can fall into that shadow side of selfishness.
Yeah, what are they? I'm anxious to hear this.
It's selfishness. I'm sure that you have done the growth necessary to make sure that it's not operative in your life, Jim, but selfishness is where when they get lax, when they make it a little bit too comfortable in their life, when they should be out fighting a battle, instead they're sitting on the rooftop gazing across and encountering Bathsheba. No, not you, but your David types have got to make sure they need to live in the future in a healthy way. Don't become complacent. Mm. And you think about David's life, it's whenever he lost the bigger vision that he actually had that moment, and who can forget the moment?
Yeah, the lapses.
With the lapses, and he's not defined by those lapses. And so as leaders, we make mistakes, we move on, right? And so your David types are always about what God wants to do and why that's important.
Well, again, that's so good. When we understand our financial type and how it can change our approach to money, such as following a budget, getting out of debt, and saving for our future, is that when we've got it all together, when we can actually apply the personality types to those kind of remedial things of doing budgeting?
You know, it's where those things take on a deeper sense of meaning and life. And so we all need to budget. We all need to save. We all need to invest for our future. And I want to say to the person that's out there that feels like, I don't have two nickels to rub together at this point in time. You start where you are. You use money in a way, no matter how much of it you have, find things that are lying around. You're like, okay, I'm given to hospitality, but I don't have a lot of money in order to lavish on other people. Call for a barbecue in your backyard. Bring your own meat, right? And let's start where we are rather than focusing on what we are not. And so for me, whenever I understood I have these Isaac type, these maximizer discipline tendencies, I was able to come to my budget not with a sense of fear, because I was mindful of that. Okay, Tommy, you're probably going to be concerned that you're not going to have enough in the future. Let's be mindful of that as you come to the budget. And it also makes me aware, okay, if you're going on vacation, if you have an Abraham type and an Isaac type in the same car and two children in the back seat, your Abraham type is going to be like, yeah, let's go over here and get like the $13 frozen yogurt. Why is frozen yogurt $13, first of all, right? That is sin. Not really.
Or the $7 coffee.
Or the $7 coffee or whatever it might be. And, you know, those are the times where as an Isaac type, I have to remember we planned for this. We prepared for this. Let's buy the $13 frozen yogurt. We might as well go ahead and do
it. Don't do it, Isaac.
Lighten up a little bit.
Listen to Moses. Don't do it.
And so to me, this is about understanding why I do what I do so I can do what I do with more joy.
Mm, yeah. Well, that's true. It takes the pressure out.
Yeah.
Let me ask you in that context, the person that feels in conflict in their marriage. I mean, here, focus on the family. This will be one of the top three, certainly, areas of conflict in marriage, finances.
Yep.
And how do you understand this type and then begin to apply it in a way that lightens the burden a bit.
Right.
You can let some of the energy and the steam out of the conflict.
Right.
And love each other better, actually.
Yeah. Usually we make it all about amounts, or we make it all about what the other person is doing. And I do think it's a biblical and a Christ-centered imperative to start with yourself and to say, okay, how am I inclined? How am I wired? What's my money type? How is it functioning in this situation? Let's look at the other person. So have them take the quiz as well. What's your money type? What are you bringing to the table? So become curious about other types, number one, curiosity. The second thing is ask how their money type is functioning in this situation. Third, always start with yourself. Next, create space for the other person to be able to use money in a way. Okay, you're given to hospitality. You love to make connections. We need to carve out a little bit more over here and a little bit less over here. And then for me, at the end of it all, I'm going to have to create boundaries to make sure that we are being financially responsible. But the thing that's undergirding all of this is you're bringing something to the financial table. We have to play nice in the same bank account. You're bringing something to the table that I need to value and affirm and appreciate. And if I can gain empathy for you, it's going to make us come together, and we're going to see God's presence in our finances in a whole new way.
What a fun, informative conversation these past couple of days with Pastor Tommy Brown, and I do hope you'll look for his book, The Seven Money Types. On behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, thanks for listening to Focus on the Family. I'm John Fuller.
So by now, I'm sure you've identified your money type, and you may be relieved to know that there are positive elements to every style of money management. But I think we also need to heed the warnings that Tommy spoke of, because each money type has a shadow side, and that's where we can get tripped up if we're not mindful. Tommy's book, The Seven Money Types, is a helpful guide for those who want to improve their relationship with money. I want to encourage you to get a copy. You can do that when you call us on 031-716-3300 or find it on our website at safamily.co.za. Thanks for joining us today. For Focus on the Family Africa, I'm Alison Schnell, inviting you back next time when we'll, as always, help you and your family thrive in Christ.